Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Wow. This is like a surreal experience for people.
Yes, it is. Yeah, we actually came up here on this service together to dispel the rumor that we are two individual people. You know, and then we don't.
But notice I'm sitting and I'm still roughly the...
Let's just create a little space. Everyone insert their own joke there. No, there has been a rumor that actually we are one, that you're just the gangly, more awkward version of me. You know, so... I wanted to kind of take care of that.
That people sometimes do get us confused with each other, and we actually do exist in the same place at the same time. And this is, how many Christmases together?
This is our 10th Christmas together.
10,
right.
Yes.
Special moment, yes. That's indeed a special moment. All right.
Well, let's have another special moment. Brian and I are going to talk about Christmas stories today and have a lot of fun today. But at the same time, I just talked with a friend of mine a moment ago who's going to share with us one of her Christmas stories. Judith Hale. Everyone welcome Judith Hale. We've been randomly asking people right when they came in to say, hey, we think that you might have a good little story to share for us. Come on here, Judith. Right here. First of all, give us your full given name.
Judith Ann Hale.
You can hold that, Judith. Judith, what's your what's the best thing about Christmas for you? What's your Christmas story that you like best?
This is going to sound canned, but it really isn't, because I didn't know until just a minute ago that you were going to ask. But my best Christmas was last year here. The first time we did this marathon of Christmas services all through the day, I just kind of decided that I wasn't going to try and be anywhere else, and I was just going to be here. I work at the Info Center, and or volunteer out there, and... just being there all day and getting to spend the whole day with all the people that I do life with throughout the year, not having to rush to go anywhere, and just being able to visit and catch up, it was just wonderful.
Awesome. Are you doing the same thing this year?
No. This year I'm really
So then it wasn't that good then?
Yes.
It was wonderful, but I had to make time. And now with facilities and just all over.
You're such a consistent blessing to our church, Judith. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we have a special prize for you, too.
Yes, actually, yeah. And we know just kind of pulling, every service we're just pulling somebody up on stage last minute. We know kind of going out of comfort zone. So we wanted to make sure that each one of those people get a chance to choose from the Crossroads gift bag, okay? So we have the Crossroads gift bag. Choose, you know, whatever choice you want out of there. Go ahead and choose
any one of them.
Yeah,
Interesting, they all look the same.
Yes. Judith has chosen AOL 9.0.
Optimized. That's what she gets.
Optimized.
You know, Crossroads never wants that. We always want to be generous and blessed people, and we hope that that thing we spend a lot of money on helps you.
Christmas spirit.
All right, Judith. Give Judith a hand. Where are we?
We're talking about Christmas stories, but, you know, traditions here, that we do have a tradition. It's a tradition that we did here the first few years of Crossroads, and we tried to take it away one Christmas Eve, and kind of the masses rose up, and it got kind of ugly, you know, kind of things. We said, you know what, we're never going to have a Christmas Eve, not do this. It actually involves Josh. If Josh, most of you know Josh because you recognize him as, wow, he's that drummer, does kind of that cool stuff. Josh is actually our music director here. Everything that happens musically, you know, here in the auditorium is actually under...
And while Josh came up, how many of us came here today in four-wheel drives? Wow. A lot of four-wheel drives. Okay, Josh, thank you.
Stream of consciousness, yes. How many of us, dance the mamba in, I just wonder where you're going with that. That's all.
I asked that every service. I realized I didn't ask at that service.
Well, Josh, this tradition here with Josh actually involves him and some of his favorite friends here as well. So why don't we kind of clear the area and we'll let him kind of do what he's doing.
Thanks. Howdy. How's everybody? Great. I will confess that I'm generally... Can I have your hat? Okay. I saw this while I was playing and I thought, yeah. So I get pretty nervous doing this sort of thing. But I do, after talking myself into it, I do get excited just because I get a chance to hang out with kids. And what I'm just going to do is I'm going to read a story, if you guys don't mind. And, hey, I've always wanted my own theme music. So I'd like to invite the kids up. Little kids, big kids who want to be little kids, come on up. Don't mind the sand. You know, I'll forget to give this back to you, so I should probably give this back to you now. Thank you. Come on up, guys. Guys and girls. Come close. You have a groovy hat, too. I've now embarrassed you, haven't I? Come on up. So we'll get this out of the way now. If you all look up at the screens, you will see yourself. So go ahead and wave now. We'll just get it out of the way. It's like being at the Bengals game. How's everybody doing? Great. Are we all very excited? Whoa. We lost one. Here, why don't you come stand with me? You can hang out with me since you fell. You okay? Okay, great. You want to sit right here? So what is everybody excited about? What about hanging out with me? Less exciting. Less exciting, I guess. Well, what'd you say?
Less exciting, but still exciting.
Less exciting, but still exciting. That's the story of my life. So I'd like to read you guys a story, if you don't mind. Do you guys mind? I mean, since you're up here, I might as well do it. It's a groovy little story. So once there was a boy who was the son of a shepherd. His family didn't have much... Oh, my goodness. We're dressed the same. His family didn't have much money, and so they were not able to afford to buy toys, which really stinks. The boy spent his time helping his father tend the sheep in the pastures. There was not much time for playing. One day the boy went with his father to the market in town. As they were passing by stands where people sold their goods, the boy spotted a beautiful drum with silver rings around it and a gleaming white top. He stared at it for a long time because he wanted it very badly. But he didn't say anything because he knew his family could not buy the drum for him. His father paused, watching his son staring at the drum, and he knew what he was thinking. At night, after the son had come in from the pastures helping with the sheep, he ate his supper, went up to get ready for bed. There on his bed was the beautiful drum he wanted so badly. His parents even let him bang on it a little bit before he went to bed. So when you guys go home tonight, I want you to grab something you can bang on. Your parents will love you for it. Starting the next day and every day thereafter, the little boy carried the drum with him and practiced on it as he went out to the pastures to help with the sheep. Both the sheep and the shepherds grew accustomed to the drumming. And as the months and years passed, the boy became quite good at it. Like me. Like me. Thank you. We're getting better at this. We're getting better at this. Last service, people just laughed at me. The shepherds looked forward to hearing his different cadences rolling down the hillside every morning. The boy carried his drum everywhere he went and even slept with it beside him at night. One day, a very poor family came looking for a place to stay. The young woman was pregnant and ready to have her baby any day. They needed shelter, but they were not able to find any in the village below. So the boy's family allowed them to stay in their stable. The young woman and her husband were very nice to the young boy. And they were so poor that he felt he wanted to give them something special in return for their kindness. But he had nothing to give them. One cold night, the boy awoke to a bluish light shining in his window. He got up and looked outside, where he saw the stars shining more brightly than he had ever seen before. They were shining so brightly that he could see billions of them in the sky. And that is a big number. They were shining so brightly that he could see billions of them. That's what I just said. And they seemed to be closer than usual. The pastures below were lit up with starlight so that you could see the sheep clearly even far away. Yes, I agree. It gave the boy a magical feeling and he had to run outside to see better. The shepherds watching the sheep were also gathered together, looking up at the unusually bright starlight. As the boy was looking upward outside his house, he heard crying coming from the stable. What do you reckon that was? Yeah. A couple services ago, a little boy said to mom. I thought he's a keeper. He went to look inside where he saw the mother and the father holding the newborn baby close, trying to feed him his first meal. The boy suddenly knew what he wanted to give them. He ran upstairs, got his drum brought down to the stable, and stepped inside, and he said, "This drum, it's all I have that is mine. But I want to give it to your baby so that when he grows up, he can learn to play like I have." The woman smiled at him and said, "I've heard you play your drum, and I enjoy it so much that I want you to keep your drum and share the gift you have for playing instead." The boy was very happy to hear that. He picked up his drum and began to play softly so as to not scare the child. Do you know what's cool about that story? Besides it's talking about drums. You know, like the gifts you get under your Christmas tree and stuff. Those are pretty cool, but those aren't the kind of things that Jesus wants. You know what Jesus wants from you? He just wants you. Because he thinks you're really groovy. He thinks you're all great.
Oh, man. It's interesting how we sort of match each other here with a Christmas theme going.
That's right. Yeah, well, how many times a year do I get to wear black flannel pants? This is the only night. So.
This is my traditional Christmas shirt, too.
Is it really?
It is. I think I've worn this the last three Christmases in a row.
It's kind of a lumberjack Christmas.
It is a lumberjack. It is lumberjack Christmas. Hey, why don't we pray before we do anything else?
God, boy, we just come to you and we're just thankful. We are thankful for these Christmas stories that have all woven together to make this greater story that we get to be part of. And we thank you for loving us so much that you sent your son come crashing into our world to change our world and to change us. And we just ask that you would use this whole time of this whole holiday to be one more way that you're changing and you're growing us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's take a look at a portion of the Christmas story. If you've been around Crossroads the last several weeks, we've covered Mary, the girl. We talked about the shepherds, the grunts. Last week, you talked about
the greats,
wise men or magi. And today we're going to talk about God, what God's story. But one person's story I've talked about was Joseph, or at least what happened with Joseph. And let's read a couple of verses here that gives a little bit of his story in the midst of the original Christmas story. This comes from the book of Matthew, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 20. It says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" Christmas from Jesus's, or from Joseph's perspective. And I actually have a little footnote in my Bible, which if you got a good Bible, there's oftentimes little footnotes in it. And I got this little footnote here that says, "Give him the name Jesus." And it says down here, "Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua, which means the Lord saves." You know what that means? That means that Jesus' name is not Jesus. This Jesus is the Greek form. In other words, this was written in Greek. The New Testament portion of the Bible is written in Greek. And so the language that we know Jesus by is actually from the Greek language, and his name is Jesus. But his actual name given was Joshua. And there is significance in the giving of names, similar to your name, which is, to many of us, or to me, Beam, which is your name.
Actually, my name is Brian, but yeah.
But it's become the language.
We realized, probably, you know, we were talking earlier, this is our 10th Christmas together. We realized pretty early on there was this challenge, this confusion with both of us and being named Brian.
So. Yeah, it's kind of cumbersome to say Brian Wells will come up, as opposed to just Brian, or Brian Tome will come up. And so those of us on staff know you as Beam, which has very deep significance, too.
Yes, incredibly deep. When Brian first moved here, he thought my initials were BMW, so he started calling me Beamer, which, you know, bad yuppie nickname for one, you know, and then secondly, it's not true, you know, but... For a while, there's a good 6-month run there where I tried to go with Stud Boy to get everybody to call me, you know, I felt it would help clear up the... But didn't work. So
and just for the record, you drive a 1990...
That'd be a 1989 Buick Park Avenue whose seats go back all the way.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. It is a stubmobile. It is very good. But Jesus' name has significance. Beam, I thought it had significance because your initials, what I thought, but Jesus' name had significance because it means the Lord saves. And that's really the primary story of God. God's story is about saving. God's story is about healing. God's story is about rescuing. God's story is about invading and coming in to do something for you and I that we can't do in and of ourselves. And we see this in every single person who's in the Christmas story. We see God doing something and them needing to respond in a specific way.
Yeah, for me, we've talked about this theme of kind of emptying the Christmas, these Christmas stories that make up the story during the series. We talk about how it's really one of people being emptied in different ways or refusing to be emptied. And the one that really kind of hit me the most was the very first weekend in this series when you were talking about the girl. You know, talk about Mary and this incredible servant. And you think about what a scandalous challenge this was that the angel of God had to her. You know, here you are a teenager, and I want you to become, you're going to become pregnant outside of marriage. You're going to give up your whole reputation, all this stress, all this fear. And as Mary, this young girl, processes this, her answer to this is stunning. It says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you've said. That's her response, is to be emptied, is to say, you know what, regardless of my dreams, my hopes, my reputation, my whatever, my impression of integrity to everybody, I want to be emptied of that if, God, you're asking me to do something here. And so Mary, perfect example of, kind of this emptying. And I've just felt a little bit challenged during this series as I've been thinking about how full sometimes we can become and how, talking about, we've known each other for 10 years now. Back when we started Crossroads, there were some pretty radical revolutionary sacrifices we had to make. There were some real risks we had to take. And now we're to the point where we've grown like we have. There are certain resources we have that I don't need to necessarily worry about some of the things that I did earlier. And it just makes me think, boy, is really God's call really for me to be safe and comfortable? Where is this continual emptiness for me? Where how do I continually empty myself and be on the cutting edge of what God's doing by staying empty for Him instead of full of just all the things that I would like to get for my family to, to be safe. So for me, there's a continual challenge of this, is what does an ongoing walk of emptiness look like?
Remember the first week I shared that, just in passing, I shared that Mary was in all likelihood 13 years old. And people went, they did this gasp. And maybe some of you might right now even say that. You might go, 13. Well, it's because that was a time back when people were betrothed. When people were engaged to be married, that was just the age that happened. And so without specific instruction otherwise, it just makes sense that Mary and Joseph would have been of normal marrying age. And I think of 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds today, I think of people who are much more open to be interrupted and emptied than those of us who are older. I mean, the older you get, the more you want things planned out, the more you want your plan to come to fruition, the more information you need. Whereas the younger you are, the more pliable you are. And I think that's why God oftentimes does incredible things to younger people, because they're much more apt to be emptied. Or as you said last week, I thought it was a great point, interrupted. Yeah. These are wise men.
Yeah, this thing of everybody in the Christmas story is an interruption to them. And that may be so, that we get to a certain age and we've got our plan set. We don't have room for God to interrupt us.
No one planned on being used by God. They were interrupted. And all of us got interrupted or winterrupted as well.
Winterrupted.
That's good.
Oh,
that's a new one.
Can we get that trademarked before? Yeah.
We all got winterrupted over the last, that just came out of my mouth just
like
now.
That'll
preach right there.
Winterruption 2004.
Yeah.
The I-team.
Why you should go to Kroger and spend $500 because you're a scared person. That kind of thing. I'm having fun. You having fun?
It's working for us.
That's all I really care about. As long as you and I are having fun, that's good. Where was I?
We were interrupted.
My parents are up from Florida. They were from Pittsburgh. All of us were from Pittsburgh. And they had the reaction over the last 24 hours, the same reaction Lib and I had for the first few years of our 10 years of existence in Cincinnati. That was this. Why aren't they plowing the roads? Why aren't they plowing the roads? I remember when we first moved here, I was living on Erie Avenue, and they had this huge, huge storm. And the closest I got to plowing the roads were some municipal truck going up and down with somebody with a salt shaker in the back, kind of shaking out. It was like, I'm Erie Avenue, come on, plow the thing. And I used to get really, really angry that we never plowed. And then I realized, okay, it was a budget thing probably. This only happens once or twice. So let's not spend the millions of dollars on snow removal equipment. And now I've gradually grown to appreciate winter eruptions. You know why? Because now, no matter what, you have to be interrupted and stop. No matter what, you have an unplanned Sabbath, an unplanned vacation, an unplanned respite where you have to get away from our to-do lists. And I think so many of us, we think that our spiritual greatness will lie in our to-do lists and our plans, and it never does. Spiritual greatness always is when God interrupts us. Always when he comes in. I think about the kids in here right now. I mean, how many of us had really planned on having our kids? Kids, don't ask your parents that when you go home. A lot of times those kids weren't planned, but in hindsight, we look back and we say, man, that was perfect timing. I am so glad that that happened. And that's how God does. He comes in and he interrupts us.
Yeah, and spiritual interruptions, again, when you're looking at that story, it's again, I know for me, I can get my plans so set in place that sometimes the God story that's crashing in my life, the place that he's wanting to take me, it's totally different than my agenda, so I can kind of just set it aside, pursue my own thing, and I think I miss some real blessings that God has for me in following his plans, even because they don't fit with quite the agenda that I have. And somebody once told me, they actually said, you want to make, you know how you make God laugh? Make a plan. You know, make a plan, because we kind of set our things out, you know, and then God sometimes, he works in different ways, and that's whether it's Mary, it's the Magi, you know, it's the shepherds, all of them respond to the spiritual interruption.
It's actually a humorous thing. I mean, who would have planned that you and I would be literally next door neighbors?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're next door neighbors. And
very stupid thing. Why would anybody ever plan that? That's a... No, we are.
That's right.
We are.
That's right.
It's a cool thing.
I got the blessing two mornings ago of being awoken to John, to you trying to get your truck out of the drive. You know, that's how I know. And I knew when Brian, with how much he wanted to get to work on Thursday morning, if he couldn't get his truck out of the drive, I knew I was home free.
Wasn't going to happen.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yesterday, that was just yesterday, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, yesterday. So I got in and could go halfway down the street. I had to turn around and come back. I got in this morning, and Josh had band practice yesterday. And he came from the east, just like the Magi came from the east. He comes from the east of Norwood, is where Josh comes from. He lives in Norwood. And he had to walk here. He walked here. I said, how long did it take? 2.5 hours. He walked 2.5 hours
practice for this
in snow, yeah. Uphill, both ways to get here. And you know, I think
the amazing thing was that it took him 2.5 hours. We're told that for a normal day, that takes 2 hours and 45 minutes to get here. So a Christmas miracle that Josh got here in 2.5 hours.
But I thought about that too, and that's very similar to what happens with us, is that you mentioned the Magi. They probably went months, years,
right,
before they actually found Jesus. And sometimes we just expect this instantaneous thing of, okay, now it's time for God to come to me now. This is the time in my life. Right now I want to have a spiritual experience, right now. Or right now is the time when I want this to happen. God doesn't work on our time frame. He works on his. Why is it that we're so drawn to the Christmas story? You know why? It's because the Christmas story is God's story. Why is it that we're drawn to Beauty and the Beast? It's my wife's favorite story. Why is the Beauty of the Beast, Beauty and the Beast, endures for decades and decades and generations? Why is that? It's because the story of the Beauty and the Beast is a primal story. It's God's story that's locked inside of us. Why is it the story of Prince Charming and a princess who's in a frog, that story goes on and we keep retelling it over and over? Why is it? Because that's part of God's story that's put in us. Why is it that Braveheart will forever be a movie that people buy on DVD? Why is it? Because it's God's story of a rescuer. Now we laugh saying, what do you mean? Are you saying that is the story of God? Well, sort of. Sort of. There's elements in every classic story that all of us connect with because God has implanted those elements in us, and that's part of God's story. Beauty and the Beast. How's that God's story? Well, there's a beauty. There's a beauty who believes in the beast. And that is the story of God. God is the beauty. Jesus is the beauty. And he looks at people who are beastish, like you and I, who have rough spots to us, who have addictions, who have things that aren't pretty about us. And he is the one person who believes in us. He is the beauty. And we are drawn to that because we have a spiritual connection with God, though we don't know that that's a story of God. But it is. Why is it Prince Charming is so fascinating to us? Because we wonder, could there be a person that would believe in me and would kiss me when all others would forsake me and look away from me? And that is the story of Christmas. That is the story of Jesus who breaks into this world as a Prince Charming and will believe in you and will touch you and do for you and save you like no one else can. Why is it that the Braveheart figure applies to so many? Because there is a God and there are forces that will come and they will do battle with you. See, this is the story of God. This is implanted in our hearts. It's cloaked. It's a mystery, but it is true. The story of God is he cares about you and I so much that he sent his son into our world. The beauty came into our world to rescue and save beasts, sinners, frogs, people who are separated from God. And this is the story that never changes. God's message of the story never changes. The language is all that changes.
Yeah, one of the stories that that I think reflects this is that this idea of that the theme, the story is the story of interruption. And what are we going to do? Are we going to we don't get to choose whether we're going to be interrupted by God or not. Well, we get to choose how we're going to respond to this. And that's why for me, this, you know, last tradition that we often do here on Christmas Eve is most meaningful, because for me, the song Silent Night represents this massive, crazy interruption in our existence. Because during this time of the season, it can be so about running and running and doing and doing. The fact that there is this stillness of when God interrupts our life, that everything else kind of falls away and there's a clarity to it and there's a stillness to it, is what I think is reflected in that song of how God plays out this story in our life of interrupting our agendas with this divine interruption. And that's why I love to do this song.
So as we do the song, the imagery is really pretty profound, because just as light breaks into darkness, so God, the beauty, breaks into the beast. So God breaks into a world that has fallen, and that light, that message, spreads from person to person. And we're here today, 2,000 and some years after Jesus was born, because his light and his message and his story is spread. God, as we do this song, may you be honored, and as we sing this song, may our hearts come closer to yours.
Let's stand to do this song together.
God, thank you for times of silence and for you. For you and for your story, and being desiring of us enough to weave us into your story. Thank you, God. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for all that you have done for us. I pray tonight for a special blessing on every life in here, every friendship, every individual, every family, every relationship that's recognized in here today. I pray that you would cover them with your grace, and that our relationship with you will grow stronger over the next 24-hour period. I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. I realize I keep forgetting every service to get my own candle. And I every time I think about that, how that's the sort of the vision of our church. So there's people who do not have the light that has not invaded their world. We need to be candle bearers, light bearers. And that's why, please don't forget to think about coming to Vision Night in January. And forgetting to pick up your stuff out in the atrium, either with the spiritual exercises as you leave.
These stories, The cool thing about this story as a follower of Christ is we're not making up some kind of cool new traditions. We swim in a very deep stream. We swim in a stream of thousands of years of God's story and in playing out in our life and us finding where we join this stream in the story that God has for us. And so what we would like to leave you with today is a prayer that, as part of that stream, God gave Moses in the Old Testament, which was a prayer he commanded him to say over the people as they went out. And we'd like to share that blessing with you as you leave today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace. And give you peace forever. Amen. Have a Merry Christmas.